Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you today, and we just want to thank you for running after us. We want to just pause and be reminded that no matter how far we run or how hard we run, you're running after us. And God, just like the prodigal son saw his dad run after him and he didn't feel worthy, he didn't feel that should be what was happening, God, you give that to us, and that's your goodness. And remind us of that today. Allow us to keep that in our hearts as we praise, as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Can we thank our worship team for leading us so well today? Great job. Brittany, you're pretty good at this singing thing. You might have tapped into something there. Well, good morning, and thank you guys so much for being here. I want to welcome you. My name's Bobby, and if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you this morning, I would love to connect with you. We have a lot of easy ways to do that. You can tap the chair in front of you. There's some numbers you can text. You can meet us out front at the tent after the service, but we would love to meet you. It's been an awesome weekend for many of you and my family. It's been graduation weekend, and I've probably cried more this weekend than I have in a long time, but I'm very, very thankful that our first daughter is leaving the house. I don't like that at all, being honest with you. But just a special welcome. We got a lot of family in town. We got our Kentucky family, our Tennessee family, our Canada family. And so they're all here this morning. And so just thank you guys so much for being here. We love you guys. It's kind of funny, as we celebrate Memorial Day, I think every time my Canada family comes, we're doing something celebrating America, and they're like, is that all y'all do, is just talk about America? But, you know, when you're the best, that's what happens. Anyways, just kidding. Well, kind of. Before I get started today, a couple quick reminders. We started something that has been so beautiful. We call it the prayer room. And once a month, we gather together and we just pray for 1 hour. And so just want you to know our next prayer room is Friday, June 5th, right here in this building, 6:30 a.m. I know it's early, but guess what? Get up and pray. We need more prayer. We need more prayer warriors. And so I want to invite you to come to that. Bring your kids, bring your family. It's not really a service. We just come together, we worship God, and we pray together. We pray God's word. We pray what God has on our hearts. And so I want you to just make a plan to be with that. I thought I brought a card up. Oh, here it is. I gave you these cards last week for our summer challenge. All right, starting last Sunday, there's basically 12 Sundays that lead us back until when school starts. And you can get one of these on your way out if you did not get one. But I want to just challenge you. Churches all over the country see a dip during the summer, right? And it's great. Vacations and seeing your family, all that thing is wonderful. But I just sometimes one weekend can turn into two can turn into a month, and before you know, it's August, right? And so I just want to encourage you to make an intentional commitment this summer. And I know saying an announcement like this might seem a little self-serving, but I promise I want this for you. This isn't something that I want from you. This is something that we want for you. Some of you want to experience God in some new ways. Well, you got to do some new things, okay? And so challenge yourself this summer. The three places, there's several on here. Yeah, we did 100 push-ups, but if you can't do that, that's okay, all right? Do 10. Do whatever you can do. It's about growth, okay? It's not about being perfect. It's about growth. But three specific areas that I do want to just draw your attention to is one, just attendance. Being in God's house matters, all right? So if you're listening on our podcast, we want to see you next Sunday, all right? But being in the house of the Lord matters, and so make a commitment to being in the room. Two, giving. Giving, we give to everything else, right? We go to Target, we go to Starbucks, we go all these places. Those places are great, well, kind of, but we give everywhere else. Make sure that you're giving the Lord your first and your best, because that's what he gave for us. And then three, serving. Serving, I was thinking about it this week. You know what that basically is? It's literally just putting other people before myself. It's saying, you know what? It's not about me. I'm going to go do what I need to do and help some other people. So let me just encourage you, make some commitments this summer and make this a different summer where you truly, truly experience Jesus. So let's get started. We started a new series last week called Small Books, Big Truths. Small Books, Big Truths. And basically what we're doing is we're walking through over these 12 weeks of summer, we're taking a book a week, going through the last 12 books of the Old Testament. These are called the Minor Prophets. Now, for some of you baseball guys in the room, they're not minor prophets because they're not yet as good as the major prophets, okay? The reason they're called minor prophets is because most of the books are just smaller, okay? And so they're not less significant. They're just a little bit smaller books, but they pack a really, really good punch. And so today we're going to be looking at the book of Joel. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Joel. For some of you, it might take a second, okay? It's probably been a while since you knew that was a book of the Bible. But we're looking at the book of Joel. Let me give you a little context and then we'll jump in. We don't know a lot about Joel. What we do know is that Joel was obviously a prophet. Now, in the Bible, when you think about a prophet, basically the simplest way is someone who God chose them to speak to his people on his behalf, right? So Joel was chosen to be God's spokesperson. Joel's name literally means Yahweh is God. Yahweh is God. Think about the pressure that Joel had in his life when his name literally means Yahweh is God. Joel had some pretty big shoes to fill. Now, what we're going to see here in the book of Joel is that Creator God, now remember, God is powerful, God does a lot of things, but Creator God has all control over the universe, over nature. He can control anything at any time when he wants. And that same God who has all of that control is the same God who is the God of judgment as well as the God of mercy. He's a really, really, really big God. Now, what we're going to see in this book is that Joel has a very strong focus on repentance. All right, and we're going to talk about what that really means. But what happens is, and we're going to see this in today's scripture, is that when people experience repentance, when people repent of their sins, they also experience restoration. So when repentance comes, restoration follows behind. So go ahead and, if you will, stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word. I'm going to invite Charlie Schultz up today. If you guys would give Charlie a big round of applause. Charlie's going to come read our scripture for us today. He's been working really hard. And let's read together Joel chapter 1. And we'll just read through the first 13, 14 verses here. It'll be here on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you this morning. Charlie, take us away.
The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, you elders. Listen, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your ancestors? Tell your children about it, and let your children tell their children and their children the next generation what the devouring locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten, and what the swarming locust has left, the young locust has eaten, and what the young locust has left, the destroying locust has eaten. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you wine drinkers, because of the sweet wine, for it has been taken from your mouth. For a nation has invaded my land, powerful and without number. Its teeth are the teeth of a lion. It has the fangs of a lioness. It has devastated my grapevine and splintered my fig tree. It has stripped off its bark and thrown it away. Its branches have turned white. Grieve like a young woman dressed in sackcloth, mourning for the husband of her youth. Grain and drink offerings have been cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests who are ministers of the Lord mourn. The fields are destroyed. The land grieves. Indeed, the grain is destroyed. The new wine is dried up. The fresh oil fails. Be ashamed, you farmers. Wail, you vine dressers, over the wheat and barley. Because of the harvest, the field has perished. The grapevine is dried up, and the fig tree is withered. The pomegranate, the date palm, and the apple, all the trees of the orchard have withered. Indeed, human joy has dried up. Dress in sackcloth and lament, you priests wail, you ministers of the altar. Come and spend the night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God. Because grain and drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God, announce a sacred fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the residents of the land at the house of your Lord, your God. Cry out to the Lord.
Amen. We all thank Charlie for reading for us today. Good job, buddy. Father, I just ask you now, use your word, speak to us today. You know exactly what we've brought in here this morning. You know the word that we need on our own hearts. Use these next few minutes to push us, to draw us, to challenge us. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You could be seated. So we start here in the book of Joel, and Joel begins with kind of this rhetorical question. He says, hear this, you elders. Listen, all you inhabitants. Has anything like this ever happened in all of your days? Well, the answer is no. And so because the answer is no, Joel says, listen, you guys got to tell your kids and their kids and their kids. You guys got to tell this story. And then he goes on to tell the story. And then he says this, and we're going to dig into this a little bit. What the devouring locusts have left, this is verse 4, the swarming locusts have eaten. What the swarming locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. And what the young locusts have left, the destroying locust has eaten. What in the world is the deal with locusts, all right? Does anybody in this room, I really need to know this. Does anybody know anything about locusts? Like you have a little bit of locust knowledge? Anybody at all right? Nobody. Good. I do because I studied them all week long, all right? So let me tell you a little bit about locusts, all right? Locusts are a certain species of a grasshopper, okay? And they're just basically a grasshopper. And under normal situations, under normal conditions, they live kind of in solitary, they're harmless grasshoppers. But when the density arises, think if there's like, there hadn't been a rain for a really long time, and then we get a big dump of rain, and then after that, that kind of sets the stage. It's kind of setting up the date is what it really is, all right? Because when the heavy rains come, that's ideal breeding conditions for locusts, right? And so they begin to shift from this solitary by themselves, and they become active. They become social. They become massive bands and swarms. You didn't think you were coming to church to learn about locusts today, did you? But you are. Locusts, they have these powerful mouthpieces. I mean, this is crazy. I was reading about this. A single locust eats roughly its own body weight in fresh vegetation every day. Now, obviously, that's not a lot because they're not very heavy. But in swarms, what happens is a small swarm can cover hundreds of square miles and consume as much food in one day as tens of thousands of people. Basically what it's saying, they don't just eat, they strip fields bare. They leave nothing but stems and soil. Locusts don't just eat the crops, they devour them in an overwhelming invasion. And so I wanted to get a little visual picture of this, and you guys have seen a tree, right? This is a tree, it's bloomed, it's beautiful, it's green, it's healthy. But after a swarm of locusts come, look at this tree. Look what happens. I was even reading some stuff that in some cases, locusts even eat bark, right? And so it's crazy what happens when we see this, right? So we're reading this book in the Bible. What in the world is Joel bringing up locusts for? Why are we talking about locusts in 2026 today? Well, here it is, church. All throughout these books, all throughout the minor prophets, you're gonna see these illustrations. You're gonna see these stories that they all have a meaning behind them. And basically what Joel is trying to get the children of Israel to understand, he's not talking about locusts just as bugs. What he's trying to get people to understand is this is a symbol of what sin does to our lives. This is exactly like the locusts come to devour and take over everything. This is exactly what sin does in my life and in your life. They're not just bugs. They're consequences of sin that can strip your life bare. Now, if we were going to take a poll, we were going to raise hands, I don't think anybody in here is going to raise their hand and sign up for, yeah, that's what I want my life to look like, right? None of us are like, yeah, I want to be devoured. Put me in, coach, right? Like nobody in here is going to sign up for that. But when we sin, that's exactly what we're signing up for. When we do things against God's word, that's exactly what we have to understand sin does. This is the way that we have to view our sin. This is the way that we have to get an understanding that sin destroys lives. Now, I want to push on you a little bit, and I promise we'll end on a more positive note. But we have to see sin for what it is today, church. We don't like to talk about sin, right? I don't like to feel guilty. I don't like to feel conviction. I don't want you telling me, right? But sin is not just, oh, it was a mistake. Sin is not just, oh, well, it's my truth. We hear this all the time. It's just self-care, or it's just the cultural norm. That's what everybody does. Sin is rebellion against the holy God. Sin is a rebellion. It's choosing my way over God's way. And what do? We justify our sin constantly, right? And why do we do that? Because God says our heart is deceitful above all things. And so we deceive ourselves into believing, well, it's just what I do, right? It was just once. And we dress it up. Well, everybody does it. I was born this way. Well, God just wants me to be happy. Well, it's not hurting anybody else. Anybody ever heard somebody say that when it comes to their sin? Maybe you've said that. And what these are lies that the enemy uses to keep us comfortable in our sin. And we have to realize that the ultimate consequence of our sin is the devouring of our field. The devouring of our tree, the devouring of my life. Now, I want to pause there because I need everybody in here to understand something. Sometimes as a church, we kind of highlight some sins and we don't talk about other sins. All right, I want you to know something. Every single person sitting to your left, to your right, behind you and in front of you is a sinner. All right? You don't have any of us fooled, okay? All of us sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so it's not like we have some people that do sin and some people don't, and the people who don't, they're just better. We all sin. Every single one of us in here have sin. And what that simply means is I have things in my life that separate me from God. Therefore, I need Jesus. You have things in your life that you do that are against God's will and against God's word. Now, there is a little bit of a misconception here that all sin is equal, okay? Maybe some of you have grown up and sin is sin in God's eyes. Well, there is some truth to that, okay? But if I go out and murder somebody and you tell your mom and dad a lie, there's different consequences for those two things, right? Yes, they're both still sin. Yes, they both separate us from God, but there's different consequences for different sin, right? You go out and get drunk tonight and you get in your car and drive and you hit somebody or you get pulled over. There's going to be more of a consequence than if I overeat today at lunch and I'm a little bit of a glutton, right? Now, that doesn't mean one's worse than the other. It's sin in God's eyes, but there's different consequences for our sin. But we all have it. And so here's the question that I want to challenge you with today. And maybe you'll hear it today and maybe you won't. But I want to challenge you to ask yourself this question. It's very simple. God, what are the locusts in my life? What are the locusts in my life? What are the things that I do, that I say, the way that I act, the things that maybe nobody else knows about? What are the things, the locusts in my life that are devouring certain aspects of me, that are devouring aspects of my family? What are the locusts in my life? I really I started going through these, and I just was thinking, and I really want to draw your attention to two, and I'm just going to show you two locusts that I believe here's why I want to do this, because I don't want to dance around it, okay? I want to call sin what it is. It's sin, right? I don't want to just say, act like, well, it's okay if you do this, okay? I want to call it what it is. And so there's two kind of locusts that I want to challenge you with today, and I'm going to go through a little bit of a list in both of these. And the first one is the personal locusts. The personal locusts. These, they devour your walk with others. They can truly devour your walk with your family, with your spouse, with your friends, with people you work with. These locusts typically show up and they devour relationships, especially the people that you love. I want to name a few. Addiction. Any kind of drugs, pills, alcohol, gambling, shopping. Students, gaming, like anything that I'm addicted to is a personal locust. Let's take it a step further. Pornography, sexual sin, premarital sex, adultery, casual hookups. It's not what everybody does. It's sin in the eyes of God. What about greed and materialism? We don't have any of that here in Bluffton, South Carolina. I know that. What about an obsessive pursuit of wealth? What about chronic overspending? Fueled by consumerism and keeping up with the Joneses and what about bitterness? Unforgiveness, dishonesty, deception, gossip, perfectionism, people-pleasing. Do you see how these can devour a person? Do you see how these can devour a family? We got to call it what it is, church. Let's stop pretending, because guess what's going to happen? You can pretend all you want, but the locusts are still going to devour. You can pretend it's not there. You can pretend it's just a couple of drinks every day after work. No. It's locusts trying to devour your life. And you got to be able to see the schemes of the enemy. You got to be able to go, you know what? I might look at it as this, but what it truly is, it's rebellion against an almighty God. Those are some personal locusts, but what about the spiritual locusts? What about the things that are, maybe they're slow, maybe some of them are quick, but what they're trying to do is devour your relationship with the Lord. They're trying to devour your walk with God. I think one of the easiest, one of the most well-known, one of the I have to fight every single day of my life is pride. Pride will create a gradual drift from God. Oh, I got this. I don't need God. I can figure this out. All that stuff is old school. And so what it does is it begins to drift us away from God. And then what happens, right? Our disciplines and our principles, well, you know, it's okay if we don't go to church, or it's okay, you know, my Bible's got some dust on it. It's okay. Or I haven't really prayed much. I might pray before dinner or when something bad's going on. And pride begins to creep in and devour your relationship with Jesus. The Bible talks about a lukewarm faith. A lukewarm faith, going through the motions. Don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many of us in the room can really relate to that one. Like, yeah, you know, I go and it's cool, and you know, but we're going through the motions. We're not really having any passion or obedience for God and the things of the Lord. What about legalism? What about just this religious performance, and it replaces a relationship with God? And as long as I go and I say my prayer and I repeat and I do what the pastor tells me to do, and I throw a little money in the plate, like then I'm good, right? That means I'm good. That's legalism. That's if you follow all the laws and the rules, then you're good. And that will totally devour your spiritual life. What about busyness? None of y'all are busy, right? Nobody has anything to do. busyness. We keep our lives so busy that it crowds out our time with the Lord. I just don't have time. What about watered down Christianity? Watered down, I like to listen to certain people because they make me feel good and they tell me what I like and they don't ever push on me about my sin. And we have these watered down versions of Christianity. And what does it do? It leaves us malnourished. I know I'm pushing hard on you this morning, but I want you to truly, truly, truly understand that some of these personal locusts, some of these spiritual locusts, they can devour our lives. And we have to see sin for exactly what it is. It's rebellion against God. It's not just an oops. It's not just a my bad. It's rebellion against God. And anytime we are in rebellion against God, we will get devoured. Anytime we're in rebellion against God, we will get devoured. Now, Joel, in chapter 1 and about half of chapter number 2, Joel tells of this devastating locust plague, right? He gives the picture to the Israelites. He's trying to kind of think of it like this. He's trying to sound the alarm bell for the Israelites. He's like, listen, you guys, you're not living right. You're not doing what's right. You're going against the Lord. You're building false idols. There's idolatry going on. And you got to be careful because guess what? The day of the Lord's coming. And there's going to be a day of reckoning. There's going to be a day of judgment. And so Joel is trying to get these Israelites to understand. And he's liking it to this unstoppable invasion of destruction that wipes out everything in its path, right? And he's trying to get them to understand that joy disappears and resources run out and you're going to be found at the rock bottom. Life is going to fall apart. Everybody's in a panic. No one's going to be able to stand and listen when God's judgment arrives. But right in the middle of this terrifying story that Joel is telling. This locusts are gonna get everything, the priests, I mean, nothing's gonna work. God stops Joel and God interrupts. He's telling him how everything is gonna be devoured and it's not gonna be good and there's gonna be judgment and the day of the Lord's gonna come and man, you better get ready. But then in chapter 2, verse 12, the Lord speaks a very prophetic word through Joel. And I think this is where many of us need to just kind of take some notes and sit up and listen today. Look at what he says in Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Even now, if you're a highlighter, underline that right there, just those two words. Even now, this is the Lord's declaration. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and mourning. Tear your hearts, not just your clothes, and return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and he relents from sending disaster. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him so you can offer a grain offering and a drink offering to the Lord your God. Right in the midst of Joel, man, look at this plague. It's going to take out everything. The locusts are going to leave stuff and then the next locusts are going to come and it's going to be devoured. There's going to be nothing left. And then God goes, but even now. Even after you've made all those dumb choices, even after you've done all that sin, even now. And then he goes on to explain his love. Let me give you three things here that I want you to walk away with today. Notice these three things. Number one, that it's never too late. It's never too late to return to the Lord. He says, even now, turn to me. You may be sitting here today and your life looks like that tree. It's devoured. You feel like everything is gone. And here's God speaking to you this morning, 2026, through locusts and a bald-headed dude from Kentucky, telling you that even now, turn back to me. Even now, no matter how far you're gone, no matter how much the damage is, no matter how long you've been away, it's never too late to return to God. If you have breath in your lungs, it's never too late. Y'all remember the thief on the cross? This dude's, he's convicted. He was dying. He didn't have any time to get on his knees and pray and get his life back together. But Jesus looked over at him and said, "You can come with me to paradise." It's never too late, church. Paul reminds the church in Rome. Remember what he said? "But God demonstrated his love for us that what? While we were still sinners, while our lives looked like the devoured tree, while our lives were a mess, that's why Christ died for us." And you may think you've gone too far and your life is too messed up, that the damage is great, but God says, even now. My youngest daughter, Marley, how old is she? 14? She's 14. She has been pushing on us because she wants a cell phone, okay? And I know some of y'all are thinking, man, y'all are mean parents, like, but that's okay. She's been wanting a cell phone, and we're holding off, and you know, we talk to her all the time, but I mean, at least two or three times a week. Can I get a phone? Can I get a phone? How about I raise money, buy my own phone, you know, all this stuff. And so every once in a while, I'm kind of a mean dad, and I like to make some jokes. And so go to this next slide, guys. So I asked Marley the other day. I was like, "Marge, this is a brand new iPhone. Would you want that one, or I think this is the one that we're gonna get you, okay?" And I just mess with her all the time. I'm like, "Marge, I just found this phone on Facebook Marketplace, and if you'd like it," and I'd come and I'd show her that one. And she said, "I don't want that." Let me ask you guys a question, okay? How many of you guys, if you had to choose between one of these two phones, all right, how many of y'all are choosing the new, shiny, nice one? Let me see your hands. You're going to choose the new, shiny. How many of you guys are like, "Nah, give me the broken one. Give me the broken one." No hands. No, nobody? Nobody at all, all right? I think I might like it because that means it probably doesn't work, and that means nobody can get a hold of me, and so I have to do less. Sorry. Talking to Mars, and I'm like, "Mars, what's wrong with the phone? It's a phone. It's fine. Dad, it's all cracked up. I don't want the cracked up phone." And this week, I don't know why. I'm not normally on Marketplace buying and selling stuff, but this week we did some, and I'm looking at these phones, and it's like, "Oh, it's got a crack here, and you got to fix this." And I'm like, who would pay for that? who would buy that? And then this, as I'm thinking about this and just praying, and Jesus says, "I want the cracked phone." And some of you here today, now go here with me. Some of you today, that's what your life feels like. The locusts have been devouring your life and you feel like this cracked screen. And maybe you sit here today and you feel like, "Well, nobody wants a cracked phone." And what Joel is trying to tell us and what God is trying to tell us right here today is that Jesus wants the cracked phone. That's why he came. He didn't come for the nice, shiny, beautiful looking phone. He came so that those of us who may think that the locusts have eaten too many years and I'm too far gone and I just don't know. I want you to hear the Father's voice today as he's trying to tell the children of Israel, and he tries to tell us today that even now, return to me. Even though I feel like the cracked phone, return to me. It's never too late. The second thing I want you to see, this one's tough. Repentance. Repentance must be wholehearted and internal. Look at verse 12. It says, God said to me, "Turn to me with all of your heart." Not just a little bit, not just halfway. I want you to be all in with fasting and weeping and mourning. Tear your heart, not just your clothes, and return to the Lord your God. God wants your heart, church. Why does God want your heart? Why is that such a big deal? Because whatever has your heart has you. Whatever the thing is that has your heart, that is the thing that has you. And he says, I want you to turn to me with all of your heart. And somebody who's weeping and mourning, what does that really make you think of? If you see somebody weeping and mourning, I kind of think of a funeral. I kind of think of weeping and mourning over a lost person or someone that I loved so dearly that something happened to them and they're no longer with me, right? And why does God use that language? Because that's what we need to do over our sin. We need to weep and mourn over the fact that we have came against God and his word and his instruction. And he says, weep and mourn and fast. And then he says, tear your hearts and not just your clothes. In this culture, people would walk around, and if you saw that their clothes were torn, it meant that they had some sorrow. It meant that they were kind of showing off that, hey, I repented, and you know, I went to the Lord, and I'm kind of showing off. And so God here, he's saying, listen, I don't care about your dumb clothes. I want you to tear your heart. I want to know what's going on inside of you. I don't want the show. I don't want everybody to think. I want your heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You know what the word for that kind of person is? What are people who don't go to church, what do they typically call the people in church? Hypocrites, right? Because your mouth says one thing, but your life shows me something else. And so here's Jesus and here's Joel telling us, hey, guess what? Sin is going to take you to places you don't want to go. And sin will always take more of your life than you want to give. And so what God is asking and what God wants from us is to understand, does sin really break my heart? Am I willing to repent? Now, repentance, it simply means this. And picture it like this. Here's my sin. I'm going to turn my back on my sin, and I'm going to go the other way. Right? Turning away from my sin. But what do some of us do? We say, I'm sorry, and we try to fix our behavior. And then what happens? We kind of turn. We a little bit turn, but maybe we hold on to it. We bring it with us while we're trying to change a little bit. Maybe we honor God with our lips, but my heart is truly far from him. True repentance is not saying I'm sorry because I got caught. True repentance is I am sick of this sin because it offends the God that I serve. We're not trying to change behavior. We're trying to change internal. Number three, Joel tells us to repent. Number three. God's character gives us hope. God's character gives us hope. Now, let me teach just for a second here. Joel, what he's doing is he's reaching back to one of the most important verses of the Old Testament. Joel is quoting Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, right? And this is how God described himself to Moses after Israel had, y'all remember the golden calf, and Israel built the golden calf, and Moses is explaining to the Israelites, and Joel is regurgitating that, and he's saying, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. So after the Israelites were brought out and God showed out for them and he did so many great things for them, they built a golden altar. Joel is trying to draw some similarities here. And the locusts have eaten and they've taken everything, and you're gonna have judgment on your life, but God is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger, abounding in love. That's who God is, church. That is God's character. That is his natural way of living. Now, for some of you, I want you to hear this. God is not sitting up in heaven eager to judge you. He's not just like sitting on the edge of his seat waiting for you to mess up, waiting for you to sin. Some of you, that's how you view the Lord. Oh, he's just ready. He's ready with his finger and he's gonna point at me. And that's not who God is. Mercy is what the Bible says God delights in. God delights in grace. God delights in love. And this is the only reason why we can come back to God with confidence. Let me say that again, because I want you to understand what's going on here. Even after the locusts have done their work, even though I've messed up for the 100th time, the 1,000th time, because of who he is, not because of my goodness, that's why I can have hope today. He's gracious, he's compassionate, he's slow to anger, his love never runs out. It is the character of God that gives me hope in my life today. So maybe you're sitting here this morning. I'm going to invite Joe and the team to come back up. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and the Lord's speaking to your heart. Maybe today you didn't really like this message because maybe we named your sin. Maybe we named your locus. Maybe today you're sitting here with some conviction in your heart. What am I supposed to do with all this? What does this mean? How do I apply this to my life? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me give you three things. As we respond, I want to encourage you to respond in one of these three ways today. We're going to be done here in just a minute. I want to ask you to respond in one of these three ways. Number one, be honest about your locusts. Be honest. Take a moment, right where you sit, take just a second and ask the Holy Spirit, what locusts have been eating my life? What is the sin in my life that you're charging me to repent of? You're challenging me to grow and turn away from? What are the things in my life that I've been holding on to in rebellion against you, God? Be honest about your locusts. Name it. Stop justifying it. Name it. Addiction, bitterness, drifting from the Lord, busyness, unforgiveness. Write it down and bring it into light. And maybe for the first time in your life, you're willing to admit, these are some locusts that are devouring my marriage, that are devouring my relationship with my children, that are devouring my relationship with the Lord. Be honest about your locusts. Number two, maybe this is your response. Maybe you've acknowledged it. Maybe you've expressed it. You know what it is. Return to him with all of your heart right now. Don't wait for later on this week. God is speaking to your heart today. Take that chance today. Take that moment today, right now. And this isn't about cleaning up first, church, right? If you break your arm, you don't wait for it to get healed and then go to the doctor, right? You take your broken arm to the doctor. And some of you need to take your broken phone screen life to the doctor today. And right now in your life, God is speaking to you, and this is about tearing your heart. This is about just no more pretending, no more I'll do better next week. Tell God, I'm done justifying this. I'm sick of it because it offends you, and I'm coming back, Lord. Return to him with all your heart right now. Number three, believe the promise of restoration. We didn't get to this today because of time, but God doesn't just stop the locusts. You go on and read the rest of Joel. It's amazing. Four chapters here. It's just so good. In the next chapter, God not only stops the locusts, but he repays the years that the locusts took. I mean, what an unbelievable story that some of you may sit here today and you've lost years to addiction or a spiritual drift or bad decisions. And God's speaking out to you today, I can restore what the locusts have eaten. I want to restore. And he can bring beauty out of ashes today, church. Some of you, man, you're that broken screen. You're that tree that's been devoured. And the enemy has you so bound up, and he has you so convinced that you're so far gone. And you need to believe the promise of restoration, that you can have joy back, that you can heal your marriage, that you can restore relationships, that you can revive your walk with God. Because the same God who sent the locusts as a wake-up call is the same God who says, even now, return to me. Even though you've done all this, It's not too late. He wants your heart, church. He's full of mercy. He's full of grace. His love never fails. And if you've never given your heart over to Jesus, today is that day. He's not waiting for you to get your act together. He's not waiting for you to become this perfect Christian. He's waiting for you to tear your heart. He died for you because you were a sinner, not because you're perfect. So I'm going to ask all over this room, can we just bow our heads and close our eyes as our time together comes to a close this morning? If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today about your locusts, about returning to Him, then would you please respond? You've tried this before, you've messed up, you've fallen, so what? God says, even now, I'm compassionate, I'm loving, I'm graceful. But it's your choice. He's not going to make you come back. He's not going to force you to come back. It's your choice. You need to talk to somebody. You need to pray with somebody. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you realize, I've never given my heart to Jesus. I've played the game and maybe I've torn my clothes, metaphorically speaking, but I've never given my heart and life to Jesus. Church, take that step today. That's the first step to redemption. That's the first step to finding out who God truly is. If you need to surrender, you need to give your life over to Jesus today, we have our pastors up front. We have our prayer team back in the back. On your way out, just grab one of us by the hand and say, hey, can you talk to me? Can you pray with me? Can you share with me? Maybe this morning you're just under conviction. You're realizing some locusts in your life and they're devouring things. Don't leave this room without responding to the Holy Spirit. You don't have to make a big spectacle. You don't have to come and give a speech. This is between you and the Lord. And He says, just tear your heart. Be real. Be honest. Be open. Come back to me as God's calling you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you know somebody that needs this. Just lift them up right now. God, my son. God, my spouse. God, my neighbor. I can see it, man. The locusts are devouring their life. God, I just pray for them today. Every single one of us in this room should have some type of response to this message. Would you be willing to say yes to Jesus? Father, I love you so much, and I'm so grateful for who you are and what you're about. I'm thankful that, Lord, even though you're real and you're honest and you want us to see our sin as what it is, it's rebellion against you, your character is what gives us hope. Not that we stop sinning, that your character is so good. It's so strong. It's something that we don't even comprehend the love that you have. But we can call on you. Even when our life looks like the broken phone screen. Even when our life looks like the devoured field. And Lord, I pray for those that sit here today and that's what they see in their own life. Maybe it's choices that they've made. Maybe it's choices from other people. But God, today, your character brings us hope. Not in our own lives, only in you. Help us to make a decision today for you, Jesus, to respond according to the way the Holy Spirit's convicting us. And Lord, may you challenge us and change us, and may we walk out of here different today, intentional today. May the chains of bondage be broken today, God. May the chains of sin of some in this room, the chains of addiction be broken today, God. Because we're tired of being devoured. May we come back to you with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. We love you, Jesus. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.